While you're standing, will you open your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 12? I have saved this message. The series has kind of went out of order the way I originally planned it, but that's okay. It's in God's order. And I want to save the message for today. We've been talking about peace on earth. We've been talking about peace all month long. So go to Romans 12, and this is the scripture anchor verse on the screen where we get this peace on earth. And I'm going to share it on the screen today because we're going to talk about that last part of that verse. And it was said during one of the scripture readings by one of our awesome kids. Don't we got the cutest kids in around, man? This church is, amen. They're your kids, so you ought to be saying, yeah, amen. Amen. This is awesome, kids. I love our kids, man. I love our leaders that's pouring into them. Our River Kids leaders, and you volunteer in River Kids, thank you, because it's more than just babysitting. We are implanting truth in them, man, and learning the scripture. All the way to youth, filling the alley, pouring in every Wednesday night. Amen. To our students, Rural Rangers and Girls Ministry. We value kids here, and it's awesome to see them. The scripture here is when the angels appeared and said, and suddenly, it's on the screen, Luke 2:13, and there will be, the angel said, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, we've been talking about peace all month. Well, now we're going to focus in on that goodwill toward men. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit writes through Paul and gives us some simple instructions that are simple to read but hard to follow. And starting in verse 14, he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who are weeping. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things, or that scripture means see the good in all men. And in verse 18 is our verse for today. If it is possible, as much as depends on us, live peaceably with all men. We will come back to that. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place or leave room for wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Verse 18 again. If it is possible. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, tell that person next to you, he's talking to you. As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I want to talk about today the path to peace with others. Save this message for our Christmas service today, right in time for this week. We're going to talk about the path to peace with others. So, Lord, we thank you again for your word, for saving these instructions for us. And you've given us your spirit that empowers us to follow your word. And we just ask you to speak to us fresh today. Give us an ear to hear, heart to receive. Speak to all of us today. Those in person watching online, those that may be watching this service after Christmas and come across this on our YouTube channel, that, Lord, you would speak through this word today, that we would hear it fresh. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Say Merry Christmas to a couple people before you're seated. Thank you, Lord. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, how many would say that, you know, how many know it's not very easy to get along with everybody? Can we all just start off by saying, some are even clapping, amen. How many would say that your work environment is peaceable? How about your neighborhood? How many, you know, here's the thing, how many know that you can have a good paying job but have not a very peaceful environment. It just takes that one coworker, sometimes the boss, that one person that just steals, robs that peace from you. You have a good paying job, but you'd rather work from home. Your boss has been begging you to get back into the office, but you won't because you know so-and-so's here. Or maybe you've got a nice home, but you've got that one neighbor. How many know it just takes that one? We need peace. Hands are up. Amen. We had a lady on Savage Row. Just reminded me of this years ago, and it was a service, just a random Sunday, and I remember this woman came up, and she was new to the church, and I was preaching, and yeah, so I was pastor. I remember that, and she came up, and she just said good things about the word and the church, and I never saw her before, so I was like, you know, are you new to the community? She goes, oh, no, I've been living here. She says, but I got a neighbor. And she said, I live in a very wealthy home. She was very well-dressed, and she's, you know, very elegant in things that she was saying in her life, and she was telling me her lifestyle, and she was kind of bragging about it. She said, but I got this one neighbor that is driving me crazy. She said, I don't even go to church, but he's been driving me so crazy, I just looked up your church and came here today so I can at least pray for this man. And she started crying in the foyer, and just was, I was like, whoa. So I prayed for her. She said, they were fighting, disputing over the property line, and all of this happened. I would love to tell you the rest of that story. I have no idea what happened with that lady and her situation, but I know that this woman, she came to the church seeking God all because she couldn't get along with a neighbor. How many know that some people can drive you to God? Amen. So maybe that person in your life, you've been praying for patience, you've been praying to be more Christ-like, you've been praying to have more fruit in your life. God is answering that prayer in Jesus' name. But we all have complicated people, and what we normally do is we avoid them. We avoid them in everything that we do. We don't want to be around them. You know, we don't like it because it robs us of our peace. Well, even this Christmas gathering, maybe you're thinking about getting together this week and you're looking forward to it, but you got that one person coming. Just look straight ahead. Or maybe that one person has a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend or whatever it is, and you're just like, you're dreading it. Or let me just be honest with you, maybe you are the complicated person. Did you think that might be possible? You know what I'm saying? So whatever it is, Jesus can relate. Because Jesus was all of his life, he was around complicated people. And in fact, this nativity scene, if you have it here, this picture that we all love, and it's very warm, and we love it, and it's very nice, and it represents, you know, Christ being born. But if you've ever stopped and really took a look at this, this is day one for Jesus. Day one, if you ever looked at the nativity scene, who we got here, we got people from every social and economic background right there on that screen. You have the shepherds who were considered on the lowest step of the social ladder in society. You know, Aristotle wrote and said, if you want a career that is a waste of time, be a shepherd. I mean, they were looked upon as the lowest of lowest. They didn't smell very good. They would be out for days with the sheep and the livestock, and here they go. And by the way, when the angel came, the Bible says they left and went right to see the baby. So where did the sheep go? They bustled up in there with their sheep. How many of you, if you had a baby, would love to have them up in your room like that, just bustling up in your house? That's what happened. So in this nativity scene, we think it's all pretty and warm, but man, there's people that weren't, you know, all of a sudden, Mary and Joseph didn't even know them. You had shepherds, you had, you know, then you got Mary and Joseph, who was a Jewish couple who followed Jehovah God. We know that because the Bible tells us about how Mary found favor and they were blameless before the Lord, and Joseph was a blue-collar carpenter. In fact, they were not very rich. They were also kind of poor. We see that because when they brought Jesus to be dedicated to the Lord, to be brought to the Lord, they had to bring a sacrifice, and the Bible says they brought pigeons. And according to Leviticus, only the poorest of the poor would bring the pigeons. So we know that Jesus didn't come from an affluent earthly home. It wasn't very wealthy. So they had Mary and Joseph there. Then you had the wise men that were there. Now they were very wealthy. They at least were people of influence. And And they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so you had all of these different people. But they are all at peace. Why? Because Jesus is at the center, and that's the point. How many know that Jesus, to reach back to last Sunday, Jesus can bring peace because his presence brings peace. So if we need peace in our marriage, if we need peace in our home, if we need peace in our finances, we need to get Jesus, the Prince of Peace, into those situations. Come on, it's getting to the back. I hear the clap getting a little bit louder. That's our problem. It's not the absence of a situation, but it's the presence of a person that we need. And Jesus is all about bringing people together. That's what he does. It's what he did his whole life. He is someone that brings everybody together. As beautiful as this looks, we must not forget the journey that it took for everybody to get there, the path to peace. For everybody to get there, it wasn't very easy. It was very difficult, in fact, for them to get there. You had an unplanned census that started the ball rolling for Mary and Joseph to get them out of their comfort zone, that God actually used to get them going. Then they had to have a 90-mile journey to Bethlehem in her, you know, ready to have a baby, traveling on a donkey or by foot. We really don't know, but we assume it was a donkey, but still, that was not a path that was very easy. It was filled with surprises, unplanned, and fears. You had Herod threatened to kill him. You had the wise men that probably journeyed the farthest that came. But they all came, and they all came together because Jesus is about pulling people together. That's what he does. And we need to celebrate that. And that's something, that only, you know, there's like an unspoken desire this time of year. You see it in all the Hallmark movies. You see it in all the Christmas movies. And that's a desire to let the spirit of Christmas forgive one another. There's this narrative, this pull that we have in Christmas. We call it the spirit of Christmas, to reconcile, to come together. Where does that come from? It comes from the Spirit of God. That's what God is all about. God loves diversity. That's why I love this church. Christianity is different from all other religions. If you look at Hinduism, it's over in India, and predominantly it's Indian people that make up Hinduism. If you talk about Buddhism, Buddhism is an Asian religion. Predominantly, it's made up of that. Muslim is predominantly Middle Eastern, but Christianity is black, white, brown, Hispanic, Indian, all the way around, male and female, only religion to do that. Why? Because that's what Christ is all about. Let me look around at this church. Isn't it beautiful to see that and celebrate that? But you got to understand that only God can do that. Only God can bring people together. Only God can bring fractured relationships back together. Only he can mend them. One of the first things God did in my life when I got saved was mend the relationship with me and my wife and my family. You know, the prodigal son is how I see myself. That's really my story. And in that story, the prodigal son came to his senses in the pig pen. And what did he say? He said, man, I need to get home with my father. It was better at my father's house than it was out here in the pig pen. And I pray if you're here today, came out because somebody invited you, or you've been coming for a while, whatever, but you really don't know Christ like you know you should know him. Let today be the day that he reconciles you to himself. No matter what you get under the Christmas tree on Wednesday, I pray you get the best gift ever today. And that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So Jesus is all about bringing people together, but the path that they all took to get to that nativity scene was difficult. It was unplanned. It was filled with fear, because that is the same path that we also must take to bring reconciliation and to bring peace with others. It's also difficult. It's not easy. It's going to be filled with surprises, but God has not called us to easy. You're not going to get a lot of amens on that one. And you won't see a bumper sticker or that shared on Facebook, you know, about carrying your cross and deny yourself daily. Yeah, getting that tattooed right here. You never will see that. But our emblem, church, our emblem is a cross. Think about that. Think about that. But here's the thing about Christianity. It's filled with paradoxes. That means where it really don't make sense, like our Michigan left turns. You know what I mean? Our turns that don't make sense at first. Well, the Bible is filled with them. And Jesus taught this. If you really want to have life, you must be willing to give yours up. If you want to receive, you got to be willing to give. In fact, the way up is actually the way down. And here in Romans 13, Paul gives us some easy-to-read instructions, but very hard to follow. They sound like they're like a paradox, but they're actually the ingredients to the path or the instructions of how to walk on this path to peace. And I want to start with verse 18, and the core verse of this, and I just want to get this one out of the way and from the beginning make this point. And the scripture says, if possible, if it is possible, and as much as depends on you, live in peace. And this is what I want, what the scripture is saying to us, and I want you to write this first thing down, is that not everyone will agree to travel on the path to peace. I got to get this out of the way. I got to say this from the get-go because there is a lot of misunderstanding with us being Christians. And I preached this on the very first message in the series about what a peacemaker is. It's different from a peacemaker. It's different than a peacekeeper. And a peacemaker, Jesus was a peacemaker. He came into the temple and he flipped tables over. He disrupted their peace to bring in his peace. And we got to realize this. And in this scripture, Paul is leaving us some room here for people who don't want Jesus to flip over their tables. There's going to be some people that don't want to walk with us down this road to peace. They really don't want to reconcile. They don't want to, you know, submit themselves to the word of God, to the ways of God. And so it's not hung on you. And I just need to tell some folks here today that's been trying to go with folks and the enemy's beating you up. And maybe some people are pointing fingers to you and saying, if you were a Christian, you would do this and you would do, and you have tried everything. But make sure we try everything. I'll get to that here in a minute. But this scripture does leave room for those of us who have tried everything and still have some folks that don't want to reconcile with us. It's time to let them go today. That's right. That's right. Because you got to travel on this road. But not everyone is going to want to travel on this road. There's different scriptures in the Bible. I could give you ones in Titus that says, warn a divisive person once, warn them twice, and then third time have nothing to do with them, for they are warped and self-condemned. But I'll look, this one in 2 Thessalonians, I'll give you this one. And it says, and if anyone does not obey our word, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now look at this. But don't regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. In other words, if we're trying to make peace with some people that just simply don't want to make peace, this scripture says, you know what? That's okay. Let them go. Love them. Pray for them. Don't treat them like an enemy, though. How many know when you got the Spirit of God in us, we don't have permission to hate anyone. And now, if you don't have God living in you, then, hey, you're going to react just like the world. But when those of us that's got the agape love, the Spirit of God in us, in fact, the Bible says this in 1 John, if anyone says that he loves God who he can't see, but he doesn't love his brother who he can see, how can the love of God truly be in him? But sometimes we think that since we love God, and here's the point, that we got to tolerate people abusing us and people hurting us. And that's what this scripture is saying. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, try to reconcile. But there are going to be some people that you might want to let them step out of your circle. I think of King Saul and David in the Old Testament. David and Goliath, he killed that giant, you know, and he got all the blessings and accolades. He got, you know, the wife. He got to marry the king's daughter. His family got exempt from paying taxes, and he was going to get mentored by King Saul. He was actually anointed to be King Saul. He just wasn't, Saul didn't know about it yet. And Saul got jealous of him. And if you look at that story, Saul first loved him and wanted David to be in his life, and he began to mentor him. But then he saw the favor and blessing of God on him, and he began to disobey God. Saul did. And so he opened himself up to disobedience and all kind of evil spirits, and he got all kind of nasty stuff going on in his life, and his mind began to turn, and he began to throw spears at David. And here's the thing. David didn't stick around when he was chucking spears at him. He was like, hey, you know what? It is okay for us to let some people go. I don't know who needs to hear this today, but there are some people that might be abusing you and might causing pain to you and disrupting you. They're like the Jonah on your boat. And it's okay to say, hey, this scripture says, if it's possible, I've tried everything. And as much as depends on me, I've done everything I can. I got to let you go. I've loved you, and I'm going to be encouraging you like a brother. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to be filled with hate, but I'm going to let you go. Because the scripture says to do that. Not everyone will be willing to travel on this path to peace. Amen? Are you amen to me? Amen. That's the good part now. Come on, that's the amen. Tell them, Pastor Reddy. You already got that text. Get ready to send. Pastor done told me it's time to let you go. Well, now we're going to get to the part where he says, as much as depends on you. And I know it's Christmas. That Christmas feeling's about almost gone in a minute here when we go, because we're gonna talk about the things that depend upon us that scripture says here. This is not Pastor Eddie, this is Romans chapter 12. This is a great apostle that's telling us today. And he says verse 14 and 17, the first one we read, bless those who curse you, repay evil with good. Now, you can't do this unless you have God with you. I must say that. You ain't going to do it. You're going to try to do it in your flesh, and you're going to come across as what we call nasty nice. Hi. Y'all know that. Nasty nice. You know, you just got it. You know, them looks and that passive aggressiveness, man, I can't stand that passive aggressiveness. Amen. It's you know, I love you, Pastor Eddie. Why does he always do? You know, it's just like, and how do we expect people to change if we never tell them what we really feel and think about them? I'm just truth bomb. I know that might have been a little too much there. Amen. You can't bless people who are cursing you unless you have the blesser, the helper, living on the inside of you. And it's an amazing thing that happens when we surrender our heart to Jesus, that God will give us this peace that we talked about last week. Even though they're shooting bullets at you, but you got that bulletproof vest on, and you're like, I'm gonna shake hands with you. I know you didn't lit me up, but it really didn't hurt me, you know, but I'm gonna shake your hand and pray for you. It's ludicrous. That's the peace of God that transcends all understanding. Jesus even said, what good is it if we bless people that bless us? He said, even the Pharisees and the hypocrites do that. But he said, the sons of God, the true followers of God, will be able to bless those who curse you. Well, so one, you got to have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. And two, you can only do that if you're willing to let some things go. So I want you to write this down for number two, the path to peace is for light travel. This path that God is calling us on, like Mary and Joseph, I mean, they didn't bring the whole house. They just brought their essentials. And this path to peace, we've got to understand that we can't be carrying a lot of things, i.e. the burden of unforgiveness. We can't be carrying grudges. I love what one of the guys said at the men's conference. You can't be holding a grudge and hold Christ. I know this ain't real fun to preach on Christmas, but man, this is set us free. Stick with me. You know, stick with me. This is what we're called to do. But the word bless there means to speak highly, to actually pronounce a blessing. And it's hard to do that with some people. You know, you got to get creative sometimes to think of a way to bless somebody who's annoying and complicated. But you got to obey the scripture. And then again, sometimes if you ain't got, mama taught us, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, you already know. Then that's okay. That's good. But you got to get creative to talk, to put a blessing on some people. It was like the story goes of a man in a city that was a scoundrel. He was very wealthy, but he was just very complicated person. He was mean. He was awful man. And the story goes that he passed away, and so his brother came to the local pastor and wanted to get him to do the funeral. And this guy just caused all kinds of problems in the community, especially with churches. He was just that guy. And so the brother said, listen, he left a lot of money to your church, and we're going to give that donation to you, but here's the thing. You're going to do this funeral service, but you can't say anything bad about him. And so the pastor had to get creative. He wanted to be a man of integrity and honor the principles so that he had his values and the scripture. So the story goes that that day the funeral was packed and everybody came because everybody knew the guy. No one really liked them, but everybody knew him. Probably showed up in case they got a little something from him because he was very wealthy. They all show up and his brother is standing there in the back and the preacher gets up and he starts to talk and he does the service and he goes, and we all know this guy. And some of you might say he was a scoundrel. He was wicked. He was evil. He was violent. He was an awful, awful man. But I'm here to tell you that he was a saint compared to his brother. Come on. Sometimes you got to get creative. But the Word of God says that we got to learn to pronounce that blessing. And in order to do that, you got to be willing to let some things go. It's light travel. Proverbs 19 says it like this: the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. And that's another problem. We're too quick to react. We're too quick to react. Scripture says you got to be slow to react. Your discretion when you think about it. But here's the point. He says, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. That word overlook in the King James means to pass over. Now, it doesn't mean you don't admit that the person that did something to you was very serious and heavy. It don't say that you don't hold them accountable, that you just say, you know, that, you know, the abuse or whatever it was. No. But what he's saying here is you pass over. In other words, don't let it stick to you. You got to be like a duck. Let me ask you something. Are you like a duck or like a sponge? You ever hear that saying that says you got to let that roll off your back like water on a duck's back? Well, if you notice a duck, the way it's created, they have those feathers, and those feathers have this silk on it that is God-given, and the feathers are real tightly knitted together in a way so that the water, if you poured a bunch of water on them, it would not get in. It would roll right off their back. How many know that's exactly how we're supposed to be as followers of Christ? But then you got other people that are like a sponge. You just drop a little drop on them, and they just suck that all in. They're just easily to be offended. Here, write this down. Never forget this. It's inevitable to not be offended, but it's a choice to live offended. It is. It's a choice that we have, especially as followers of Christ. That's why he says you got to learn to bless those. You got to learn to let them go. You got to learn to do that. We can't be people that are like sponges that hold on to things. Remember the illustration I did back in the summer? I picked up different people and he turned into bitterness. And bitterness, I got on bitterness's back and he ran me through the church. Because bitterness will take you right out of where God wants you. Come on, somebody. Bitterness will take you right out of the plan of God, right out of the will of God. But it all starts with those little offenses that we have. And I know it's Christmas and we want to get through the season. But as Christians, guys, if we really want to see transformation hitting our family, let's not just go through the seasons, not go through this message, but let's grow through it. Let's let the Lord really do something different in our lives this time when we get together with family. Thank you, Jesus. So are you like a duck or are you like a sponge? They make that passive-aggressive comment about you and you find out. Ooh, let it go. Let it go. They didn't like that recipe that you bring to the Christmas dinner this week. You worked so hard on it and they didn't even eat it. You got to learn to let it go. They didn't like that gift. You got to learn to let it go. These are some of these lighter ones, but there's some heavy ones too. And the Bible says that we got to learn to let it go. The path to peace is for light travel. You can't be carrying all these burdens. You can't be carrying all these issues with you and trying to make peace because everyone can see it. Everyone can see it on you. That path, you know, that nasty nice and all of that. You got to learn to let that go at the foot of the cross and let it go to Jesus. Because here's the point. That word Passover originates in the Bible in the Old Testament. And it says that when the blood was shed from the innocent lamb and put over the doorpost of the homes, the death angel came, which represents the judgment of God. Listen to me. The judgment of God came, but he saw the blood on the homes, and on the homes that had the blood, he passed over. So God passed over our sin. Let us learn to pass over the sins of others. That's what that message is. That's what that message is. And when I forget You know, when I hold that unforgiveness and when I see that bitterness, resentment in me, it's because I have forgotten what I've been forgiven of. Think about that. Think about that. But it's a travel. It's a road that is for light travel. Then verse 16, he says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. I want you to write this down. The path to peace is level ground. The path to peace is level ground. I love that. He says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. The Message Bible says it like this. Make friends with nobodies and do not be the great somebody. How many know the great somebody? Walk in the room. I'm here, everybody. You know, that Savior compliment. No, Jesus, the Bible is saying if you want to make peace, you got to get off the high horse. Oh, man. I'm glad I came to church this week. I mean, because it's going to be worth it now. It's going to be worth it at the end. But he's saying, man, you know, make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. That Savior complex where here I am to save the day. Little Mighty Mouse. I grew up watching Mighty Mouse. He was that little mouse. Here I am to save the day. Okay, anybody else remember that? Sorry. Okay. We got to learn to be on humble, be on level ground with people. We have this thing in our culture, you know about it, it's transactional conversations. That means people will only sit down and talk with somebody if they can get something of value from them. That's a transactional relationship. And our society is filled with it in the business world and everything else. We only will stop and say hi to somebody if they're got something to give to us. Well, do you know ministry and Christianity is the exact opposite? Jesus, there was nobody on planet Earth that could give Jesus anything. But Jesus stopped and made time for everybody. The woman at the well, the tax collector, he went. Why? Because they, in his eyes, they were the value. Come on, think about that. They were the value. They had nothing to give to Jesus. I love that song, but what do I have to give to a king? But just my heart that I will bring. At the end of the day, that's all Jesus wants. He don't want your money. He don't want your stuff. He just wants our heart. Man, that's all Christianity is all about. But we got to do better than that, man. We got to learn to not be so transactional and want to sit down with people. We got to learn to make friends with nobodies. I got a pastor friend of mine. He's actually a mentor of mine, and I love. He always says this. He says, you know, now I'm blessed to be an assistant presbyter, and he's always said this going up when we go to network councils and conferences and gatherings. He says, Eddie, he said, always look for those pastors that are off to the side, that are sitting by themselves. Those are usually bivocational pastors, or they're new to the district, new to the state. They don't have many friends. He said, so in fact, get into the habit when you step into a room of any gathering, look for those that are sitting to the side. And I try to do that even here in my own church. And so if I've passed by you and you've gotten offended, it's because, don't be offended, I saw somebody that might be new or is off to the side. And you do the same thing. You already know me. Amen. What are you going to talk about? You know what I'm saying? We need, if we all would do this, you know what kind of a revival we would have in our community and in our circle? If we would learn to look for the nobodies. And we will learn to look for those who kind of step to the side, don't have that confidence to step in and feel ashamed, feel like they're not good enough, you know, because, you know, everything that they've been around, it's always somebody wanting something out of them. But Jesus, what did he say? I'm willing to leave the 99 to go for the one. Yes. And even in this service with all of you and people watching online, can I tell you something? That God, if you were the only person here, God still would have sent his son Jesus just for you. And he's got something personal just for you. You got to believe that and receive that. And if we want to make peace, the path to peace is level ground. There's no big I's and little U's. When the prodigal son got home with his dad looked at him and said, bring me out a robe. It put sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger. Let's celebrate. Some of the family got mad that his dad made a big deal about that and said, aren't you going to say something to him for what he's done to you? And the father said, all that matters to me is my son once was dead, but now he's alive. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 19, he ends by saying this, do not avenge, but leave room for God to act on his behalf, is basically what he's saying. And that's the last thing I want to tell you today, is the path to peace does not lead to revenge. And I know we as a culture and society, we glamorize vigilantes. I mean, we you know, the Avengers. And I love all those movies. You know, Rambo, back in my day. First Blood, 1, 2, 3, and how many others? I mean, it's all about when people treat, you know, in our movie, The Equalizer, Denzel Washington, you know. All of our movies, we make a big deal. It's glamorized to pay people back and do what they've done. Die Hard, which is a Christmas movie. Well, he was trapped in a building and did have his wife, okay, so maybe he had a license. Amen. So not a good example. Anyway, other than that, unless you're trapped in a building, you get the point. The Lord says this. There's two ways. Listen, we only got two options with these broken and complicated relationships and complicated people in our life. This is really the message right here. We got two options. One, we can continue with the fake nice, you know, naughty nice, whatever, nasty nice, and in our heart and outright, just hold that grudge against them while they don't even know you feel that way. And it ends up eating us up and stealing our joy and our peace. You know, unforgiveness, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You ever hear that? And that's the option. Just continue to hold that grudge. Continue to just, you know, you're going to get vengeance on them and try our little comments and try our little, you know, back. Hand compliments, and all. We can either live that life and avoid them and not go around them. We can do that. But let me tell you something. We do this second option, which is to say, you know what? Watch this. I'm not saying that they shouldn't pay for what they did because they did something horrible. And some, you know, it's been kind of lighthearted, but there are some heavy issues. Some of you had to deal with some serious abuse and family stuff, and I know it's heavy. And the scriptures here aren't saying that you just make light of it, but here's the point. We have got to learn to give that to God. That's why he said, leave room for wrath. Leave room in your heart for God to handle them. And let me tell you something. It's been hard for me, but I've been doing it. And since I've been doing it, let me just tell you this. When God deals with people, in fact, there's even a scripture in Proverbs that says when God's wrath turns on a person, don't even rejoice lest he back off his wrath and turn on you. The Bible says that. And that is when it's real tempting to go, yeah, I told you. We want to do that. But God says, no, the mature believers, the one that realizes that they were also sinners. They were the ones that broke the laws of God. And you know, I went over this a couple of weeks ago, how awful our sin was to get us to appreciate the power of the redeeming blood of Christ. Whoever is forgiven of much will love much. Remember that whole message? Once you realize this, you'll be able to say, God, I'm gonna let you deal with them. You got to entrust God with justice. Yes. Amen. We gotta learn to entrust God with justice. You gotta leave it to God. Put it right there. God, I'm just gonna give that person to you. And God's gonna give us the grace to make it through holiday season and this new year. So I started with the nativity scene where Jesus's life started and began with a mixed group of people and different occupations. And like I said, he was around it his entire life. That's what Jesus was all about. Now let me give you the last place that Jesus was on planet Earth. And it's not a picture, but it's actually this awesome poem written by George MacLeod. I want us to stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. I love what he wrote, and let these words kind of sink in. I love it. He says, I simply argue that the cross be raised again at the center of the marketplace as well as on the steeple of the church. I'm recovering the claim that Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves, on a town garbage heap, at a crossroads of politics so cosmopolitan that they had to write his title in Hebrew and in Latin and in Greek. And at the kind of place where cynics talk smut and thieves curse and soldiers gambled. Listen, because that is where he died And that is what he died about. And that is where Christ's own ought to be. And that is what the church people ought to be about. That's how Jesus went out from this world. Was it on a beautiful stained glass window? And I've been to Israel, and it's beautiful and awesome, and I think every Christian should go and walk in the steps where Jesus was. The things of the Bible just come alive. But what is the most annoying thing over there is the religious community has built shrines on all of these holy places, lighting candles and bowing down, rubbing rocks and all that. And I'm like, it's so aggravating, you know, to see that place and to see those places. If you can get past the religiosity, you get to the heart of Christianity. You get to the heart of Jesus. It's this message. What did he say? The greatest thing how people's going to tell you from other religions is that you got love for one another. And I know we like, man, us Pentecostals are like, yeah, what? Let's tell them about the Spirit. Why do we talk in tongues but we can't speak in love? Think about it. Think about it. That is where we got to have the fruit of Jesus Christ coming from our life, man. That's when you begin to see the true power of Jesus. That's when you begin to see the true power of Jesus. It's not easy. It's not an easy road. Ask Mary and Joseph. You know what? Would you have taken that trip? Joseph would have been like, no, I would not have left Nazareth. But God had somebody outside of the story start a census to cause them to go. God could perhaps bring you into this church for an hour and a half to get some ideas in your mind that the Holy Spirit will prick your heart to get the ball rolling, that there's some reconciliation needs to happen in your family and in our home. God even used Herod, his decree. God even used that to reroute him. I mean, God uses everything, even the Judases in our life. Can I just get deep for a moment? The Judases in your life are there for a purpose. We would not have Christ crucified and resurrected if it was not for Judas. Sometimes the Judases in our life are even put there and allowed there by God to complete and fulfill the call of God and purpose of God on our life. What is God telling you to do through this message today? Man, I wanted to go a different route with this sermon, with this message. It's Christmas. We all got our Christmas clothes. But I'm here to speak the word of God. I never forget. I told Brother Marv this before service. I got permission to share this testimony as we start to close. I preached we did a series on guardrails, Ten Commandments. And this is a guardrail sermon. Got to guard our hearts, right? And I preached about honoring your mother and father and how we were called to honor our moms and dads. The Bible says so. And even those complicated parents. And I spent a whole message on how to do that. And, you know, and I feel like today it's a good message, but it's hard to deliver it. And I'm like, are the people getting it? And everybody responded. And thank you. You know, altars filled up. God began to move. And I remember he came up to me after service, and he had a person with him, a young lady who I never met before. It was his daughter, and she was here from New York. She's never been to our church. It was an unplanned thing for her to even come to church, but she came. And Marv said, you got to come to River of Life. You got to come to that church. So he brought her to this church. I preached that message. And when I came up and met her after service, she's got tears. She says, you know, the reason why I'm in town is to reconcile with my family. She's a young college student in New York, and it was hard and very difficult for even her to come to Michigan and be reunited with her dad and her family. She hasn't spoken to some of her family. I think she even said she hasn't met some of her family. And it was so, so hard. And she just tears in her eyes, so emotional. She was blown away. I was blown away. I was saying, God, blow my mind so you can capture our hearts. And he did all of that to give her the confidence that God's speaking to her. She was able to start the process. I pray that God does that today. Don't let it be another Christmas service where a Christmas gathering with your family. And if you've already did this and God's moved in your family, and awesome. Put this message on the shelf. Others of you, it's difficult. You're not looking forward to this week. You want to get the holidays out of the way. Don't go into the new year the same way we ended this year, man. God wants all of us to travel down that path to peace. In Jesus' name. But let me say this as we close again. It starts with accepting Jesus Christ. It starts with receiving the Prince of Peace. Now, we're going to really talk about this on our Christmas Eve service. It's a very special service. You need to come to that. It's going to be different, but it's going to be awesome. But right now, let me just ask you, what is God asking you to do? Is he asking you to receive him as Prince of Peace? Let me just say this with your heads bowed right now. Just bow your heads right now. Listen to my voice. And Lord, I just pray that, God, you would just move in this place, move in this building, move online to those that may be away from you, God, that, Father, you would draw them to you even right now in the name of Jesus. And if you're in this place with your heads bowed and you say, you know, Pastor, that's me. I really haven't surrendered fully to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I haven't done that yet. You might have been coming to this church for weeks, for months, or your first time here. I don't know. But today's the day that you said, you know what? I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I would love to pray for you. Will you just lift your hand up high and say, pray for me. That's me today. Pray for me. Come on, wherever you are, just lift that hand up high in this place. I want to see if there's anybody here. Pray for me today. I need to receive Christ today. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody online, I want you to just put your name in that chat. Say, pray for me. Pray for me today. The rest of us, church people, have been coming here for weeks. I'm going to ask you something. What is God telling you to do to this message? What's he asking you to do to come down this peace? Some folks, you've been holding on. They're bringing the abuse and pain into your life. And the Lord, you know, not everyone's meant to be in every season of your life. It's okay. Pray for them. Let them go. Don't hold them as an enemy, but let them go. But others, you need to let that burden and unforgiveness go. Maybe some of it's time for us to come off the high horse, and we're the ones that start that conversation. We're on level ground here. I know we're Christians, but we're not holier than thou. When you get saved, people go, oh, you think you're holier than thou. I remember hitting that at work. Everyone was saying that to me. I said, man, I don't think I'm holier than thou. I know. In fact, the only difference between me and you is I know I'm not better than you. And that revenge, we got to entrust God with that revenge in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? I'm going to open up these altars. We're going to sing one more song. I'm going to ask our altar team to come on up here in the front. And I'm going to invite you to come to the front if you need prayer. We do this, you guys know this, every service for prayer. Anything that's going on in your life, you need to come and get prayer. I want you to come and get prayer today. You're going to go see a doctor this week. You got something to do with this message or not. This is a time where we're going to end the service for you to respond with some prayer. I want you to come as we sing one more time. Come on up. Let us pray for you in Jesus' name. Come on. Our altar workers are here. They got the red badges on. Only those with the red badges are our altar team. We're here to pray for you. Rest of us, can we worship one more time on this Christmas service? Thank you, Jesus.
And dominions, all powers.
Come on, let's worship. Come on.
Stands above them all. Oh. And the angels cry. Oh,
come on, lift our voice. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.